J1.
Number 6A.
Now, I'd like to begin, and we would like to recapitulate a moment on what we discussed last week, just part of it, in order to bring our thought up again. And what we were seeing last week was the fact that of mind as creator. Now, the fact is that mind is the basis of the universe. And mind is all in all. Therefore, we must at least accept that basic premise. That is the basic premise from which we proceed, is that mind is the basis of the universe. Without accepting that basic premise, one cannot understand the teachings of the science of Christian Science, or one actually cannot proceed to understand what reality is, because spiritual understanding tells us that mind is the basis of the universe. Now, the fact is that there is only one mind, and mind is the only creator, and mind is that which creates the image. And that image which mind creates is perfect. Now, as we have seen, that the image that mind creates is perfect. We live in a mental universe. We live in the universe of the divine mind. And that image, the image which mind creates, is perfect. But as we have seen, it's all these limited false beliefs which distort that perfect image. And actually, these limited false beliefs, which we give the term mortal mind itself is not a creator. All mortal mind or limited beliefs can do is to distort that perfect image. So what we must see is that mortal mind doesn't create a universe. It doesn't create a material universe, so that we have somewhere here a material universe and then somewhere there a spiritual universe, so that there are two universes and that we have to fight like everything to get out of a material universe in order to get into a spiritual universe somewhere, or that after we die we'll go into a spiritual universe. The fact is that there is only one universe, because there is only one mind, and that one mind creates a perfect image. All limited beliefs do is distort that perfect image. So what we must do actually is to get out then of limited thinking and limited false beliefs and finally come into an awareness of spiritual understanding. And then this true image will appear more and more of what the real creation actually is. And as we have seen in that third degree of spiritual understanding, it is here that mortal mind and false beliefs absolutely disappear, and the true creation or the true fact of reality appears to our consciousness. So, what we must see is that the true fact is that infinite mind's creation is here and now. And a very pertinent and important question was asked to me last week, and the question was, is this spiritual understanding or the divine mind's awareness attainable only after death? And this is something which we all must, sooner or later, reason with ourselves, feeling now, is this what we talk about, going from the first degree of mortal mind thinking into the second degree of a moral type of thinking, into a third degree of spiritual understanding? Is that third degree of spiritual understanding or the divine mind's awareness only attainable after death? And what we must see, and this is the answer, as many of us know, is that the answer is no. Quite on the contrary, which we know is that the true creation of infinite mind is here and now, and it just has to be realized. So actually, at any time, we can systematically and scientifically take step by step those steps which take us out then again from physical beliefs into moral thinking, into spiritual understanding, and again, those are steps, we just say them again and again so they become warm to us. That takes us from the first degree then of physical beliefs, which is what we've said was a so-called mortal mind's awareness. We can come out of that through understanding and trying to gain more understanding. We can come out of that first degree of physical thinking into a moral realm of the human mind's awareness. And just as we come out of the first degree into the second degree through understanding and searching, we can come out of that second degree of just moral faith and hope and belief. We can come into the realm of spiritual understanding. And this is something which is attainable here and now. So the divine mind is a present possibility for us to have that consciousness and awareness of the divine mind. Now, this is St. John's experience, and we spoke about this in the class before, but again, we should see this a little fuller and even what Mrs. Eddy has to say about it. St. John actually went through this movement or this scientific evolution from that first degree to the second degree into the third degree while still here on earth. And he writes in Revelation 21:1, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So actually, before St. John made that step, St. John made those steps here, you see. He made those steps from, again, the first degree of physical beliefs into spiritual understanding while he was right here. And this enabled him to see what he called a new heaven and a new earth, but actually he just saw reality in a different light. Now, on page 572 in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy states about this experience of St. John. She quotes Revelation 21:1, and then she says, "The Revelator had not yet passed the transitional stage in human experience called death, but he already saw a new heaven and a new earth. St. John's corporeal sense of the heavens and the earth had vanished, and in place of this false sense was a spiritual sense, the subjective state by which he could see the new heaven and new earth, which involved the spiritual idea and consciousness of reality. This is scriptural authority for concluding that such a recognition of being is and has been possible to men in this present state of existence, that we can become conscious here and now of a cessation of death, sorrow, and pain. This is indeed a foretaste of absolute Christian Science. Take heart, dear sufferer, for this reality of being will surely appear sometime and in some way. There will be no more pain, and all tears will be wiped away. When you read this, remember Jesus' words, 'The kingdom of God is within you.' This spiritual consciousness is therefore a present possibility." Now, doesn't that make us feel good? To know that what we are studying and what we are doing isn't something up in the clouds and it isn't abstract glory. It's really concrete being, and it's a present possibility. I think that the demands are often somewhat high, and we begin to feel, well, this is just not something which is attainable. To have that pure divine mind awareness every day, we say when we get up in the morning, to look out from absolute perfection and to claim that perfection every single day, every moment of the day, this is very difficult. But it is possible if we just hang on to it. This is something that we just must do. And I always mention about getting up in the morning, but it seems like at that particular time you start off new, and at that moment of awaking you have the complete choice of going out from an imperfect day or from a perfect day. And with myself lately and for the past months, the moment I wake up I immediately say I go out from perfection and I claim a perfect day. And it begins to start working in your consciousness, and it begins, the rhythm starts building up until you feel, it's kind of foreign at first because, you know, seems to have all these problems. But if one detaches from your problems, wake up, claim the perfect day, it does something. You begin to live in that, and all of a sudden it becomes very natural to live in a perfect awareness. But it's something we must always work at, because the whole television consciousness and the whole newspaper consciousness and everything that our friends tell us about all their problems and everything, you know, which is fine because we help each other. But the thing is that we must constantly claim perfection. That's how we're going to get into the rhythm of it, in spite of what appears to be human difficulties. So, therefore, tonight as we go on, in order for us to here and now claim a new heaven and a new earth, in order to see a new spiritual understanding, to see what spiritual understanding is telling us about reality, we must then detach ourselves from all material conceptions. We must drop what went on during the day and what's going to go on tomorrow and what's going on in all these months. We have to drop this from our consciousness and just let spiritual understanding tell us what reality is. So now this we will do. Now spiritual understanding then tells us that mind is the basis of reality and that mind is the only creator. Therefore, mind alone possesses all creative power. Mind alone, mind, possesses all creative power. Therefore, this so-called matter or corporeal sense world really has no creative faculties. What we must see is that mind alone is creator and that man's origin is in the divine mind. This is what spiritual understanding tells us, is that mind creates man. And that in reality, man is not evolved from a mortal seed. Divine mind creates man. This is the fact. So man exists as an image in mind. And that creation which mind creates is perfectly good and spiritual. This is the reality. This is the fact. That mind's creation is good and spiritual. We can see that it's just been a long history of false education and evil thinking and physical thinking, which has distorted that good creation. And it is up to us, therefore, to more and more drop this type of thinking, physical thinking, and come in to the rhythm of spiritual understanding and purity. And what we must see, therefore, that it's really these good spiritual ideas that operate creatively. If one is looking for a creative life and a creative understanding, it's ideas which really operate creatively. Now, I'd like to then go on with our study of mind, and as we then go from creator, which we see on the list, and we turn again, therefore, to our list, and we see that the first one was creator. And so we have seen, therefore, that mind is the only creator. Now we'll turn again to the compendium and to our illustrative material entitled Mind and go right on with all the other ideas which characterize mind. Now, what I have in mind, and as you know, is that I'm following the exact sequence of the ideas as they appear in the compendium. Therefore, I feel that it's not necessary for me to always quote which page I'm talking on, because I'm actually going step by step and page by page through the compendium and paraphrasing and quoting directly from these compendiums. So it should be easy for any of you to follow me. Now, after we see that mind is creator, we come to the fact that mind is the only producer. Now, this is something which is we follow very logically. If mind is the only creator, then mind must be the only producer. Now, in part, the definition of creator means one who or that which produces. And in part, the definition of creates means to produce. So already in the definition of create, we have it mentioned produce, the producer. And we see that produce actually means to cause, to be, or to happen, to originate, to bring about. It means to bring into being or form. So, mind is that which again causes, effects, brings about, makes, brings into being, or forms. So mind is the only creator, therefore mind is the only producer. That which causes something to happen. And in Science and Health, we read from various references that mind is the producer. And then we read that mind reproduces all, man and the universe is its product. Then we read that mind produces its own models of excellence. And mind produces in man health, harmony, and immortality. And mind produces all action. So we see, therefore, that mind is the only producer, and again, what mind produces must be mind-like or must be God-like. So mind is the only producer. Now, then we move on. If mind is the only creator and mind is the only producer, then we say, well, then mind is the only parent mind. Now, we can say this, and it's a fact, because in spiritual reality we see that mind is the creator of man. So therefore we can say that mind is the parent mind. If mind is the creator of man, then we can say mind is the parent mind. So in other words, mind alone is man's parent. And by parent, we know that parent comes from the Latin root form meaning to produce or bring forth. So, and we know that parent means in the dictionary a father or mother, or parent means that which produces, cause, or source. And in science and health, therefore, we find statements such as parent mind or father mind. And also we have this parent mind concept of mind appearing in the first statement of the Lord's Prayer as it's found in Science and Health. And that's, you know, where it states, Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious. This is the first statement of the Lord's Prayer, which points to the fact that mind is the parent of man. Now, we begin to see, therefore, if we really recognize and accept the fact that mind alone is our parent, how it would free us totally from the belief of mortal and human heredity. And it frees us right away from the belief of past, tradition, environment, even racialism, nationalism. I mean, mind, therefore, is the parent, then, of all mankind. All of mankind has the same parent. We must have that big consciousness to just immediately take ourselves back to, not Adam and Eve, obviously, but we take ourselves back to mind as our parent. So this absolutely, therefore, frees us from all those first and second degree beliefs that man has a mortal and human parentage or heritage, that actually as offsprings, so to speak, of this parent mind, man inherits, and we inherit only divine ideas, and we inherit that whole true spiritual universe. So that's natural. If mind is the only creator, then mind is the only producer, and mind is the parent mind. Mind creates man. I mean, we just begin to get the tone, don't we, of mind. I mean, this is a powerful super symbol. It stands for the basis of the universe. Now we come on to mind some more, and we begin to see, well then, let's see, mind forms. Now what does it mean that to have forms as a characteristic of mind? Now, we see that actually forms is a verb, and we use forms and mind as in its verb form. And as forms means to give form or shape to fashion, to give a particular form to, also to model by instruction. Therefore, what we have to see here together is the bigness of this statement that mind forms, and that mind forms all identities. And actually what we see, therefore, is that mind gives form to all the image, actually, that we see. Form, if we say that mind alone gives the form to all identities, form, you see, means in dictionary terminology, the structure or contour of something. So mind gives the structure to something. Now that's beginning to become very concrete. We're getting a concrete image there. Mind gives the structure. Mind forms, therefore mind gives the structure of something. Mind alone forms all identities. This isn't depending on matter or building materials or wood or anything, you see. Mind gives a structure to all identities. Now, I would like to read to you something which is an article that I just love, and I can read it over and over and over again. And I'd like to read to you a few excerpts from an article entitled A Universe That Thinks, which appeared in the Illustrated London News, June the 20th, 1970. Now, many of you have seen that I've quoted extensively from this article in my book, The Imperative Step. So almost the entirety of that article is in the book, but right now I'd just like to read a few excerpts because it gives us the feeling, the real tone of what we mean by mind forms. So let's just go over this, the few excerpts here. And for many of you, it's to recapitulate. Now, to quote directly from it, it says, in the mid-50s, biologists began to recognize that our genes are coded. Crick and Watson discovered that the order of the molecules, the DNA code as it is called, determines your sex, your height, the color of your hair and eyes, and other physical characteristics. It struck Dr. David Foster that, as we look around at nature, we see the results of endless coding. Every tree, insect, and bird is the product of a kind of computer card. An acorn is a program of an oak tree. But who or what programs the computer? In cybernetic language, you could say that the more complex the information, the higher the wavelength of energy that carries it. This leads Dr. Foster to his boldest step. He points out that most of the energies known to us on the surface of the Earth are not high enough in frequency to carry the kind of information involved in the DNA code. Sound, light, heat, even X-rays are all too low. But there are plenty of energies in the universe that are high enough to carry the information, all kinds of cosmic rays that permeate the whole of space. Dr. Foster's conclusion, announced at the International Conference on Cybernetics held at the Imperial College London last year, is that we are living in an information universe, an intelligent universe. He suggests that the overall picture of a coded nature seems to point to some superior intelligence doing the coding. What are these superior intelligences? There is obviously no point in asking, since we have no possibility of formulating the answer. For the sake of simplicity, Dr. Foster is perfectly willing to call it God. His arguments do not prove the existence of God. They only indicate that, in view of the complexity that surrounds us, it is by no means far-fetched to assume that the energy waves that fly through the universe are carrying information like Morse code. And if he is right, or even halfway right, then the old epoch of scientific materialism is quite definitely at an end. From now on, we scrutinize the heavens and the molecules of organic matter on the assumption that they reflect an information code rather than purely mechanical laws of nature. Now, do you see what the scientists are seeing? They're seeing that we live in an information universe, in a coded universe. You see, that what they're seeing is that man and animals and plants, everything is the result of endless coding. Therefore, as we know, each living cell of a man, let me take it slowly here. As we know, in each living cell in man, there are genes. And within those genes, there is contained the entire program or code for the whole structure of that man's body. So within genes is a code for the whole structure of man's body. Therefore, a gene is a code for that whole program of man. Now, we have a simple thing like an acorn. And as it mentioned, an acorn, in that small little acorn, already is contained the entire program for that whole oak tree that it's going to become. So, you see, and we see together, that this whole universe is a product of information coding. So, this question is asked, who or what is coding the universe? If we are a product of that coding, who's coding the universe? And Dr. Foster, it mentions in there, is perfectly willing to call it God. Mary Baker Eddy says, mind, God forms man. And in Science and Health, we read that mind forms the bud and blossom. Now, those are two big statements here. She says, mind forms man, and mind forms the bud and the blossom. And as we have seen, therefore, forms means to give form to or to give structure to. But forms also means to model by instruction. Therefore, mind models by instruction, we could say. Mind forms or mind models by instruction. Mind, therefore, gives the instruction, we can say. Or mind gives the information code that forms man and the bud and the blossom. And this is something which is very big to see. Mind is coding the universe. It is giving the information. It is forming. It is giving the information code to form man and the bud and the blossom. Now, this is something which, again, was written in Science and Health quite a few years ago, that mind forms man and mind forms the bud and the blossom. Today, in the scientific world, they're beginning to see the possibility here of how this works. Mind gives the information code, you see, to form man, the bud, and the blossom. So, mind is the creator, you see. Mind is the producer. Mind alone is the parent mind. Mind alone forms. Do we get the bigness of mind? It's the power here, really. Therefore, all creative qualities and faculties are found in mind. You see, as we go through these ideas which characterize mind, they just give the oomph to mind. You see what mind really is, and you stand in awe of what mind is, the power of it, really. And as we'll see, mind is power. But it is all-powerful. Therefore, we also see, and which is a fact, that mind, or we could say God, but today we have the term mind, can only create and form that which is already contained in mind. So mind creates what is already contained in that mind. So you could more or less say that mind forms its own image and likeness, and therefore its own image is expressed as ideas, as forms. And this is why in Science and Health we read that mind forms its own likeness, mind forms its own image, mind forms love's idea. Mind can only form what mind is. And therefore, we see, just to get a few more spiritual facts here about formation, that the formations of mind are always spiritual and are always governed by the divine mind. Therefore, we see that all these malformations or deformities are not created by the divine mind, but they are actually the result of false beliefs and actions.